Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. Well, welcome to the virus, eh?
Yes. Welcome to episode 249 of the Funny Farm. Oh, wait, no. Of the Groom Pod, recorded on April 5th, 2020. I think that's the date. I'm not sure because I've completely lost track.
Did you say April 5th? Yeah, you're right.
Okay. In Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and the Absorber Towel. I want to tell you about this fantastic new sponsor, and that is the Absorber Towel. The Absorber Towel from DogLoversTowel.com. It is changing my world. The Absorber Towel really helps me cut down on drying time. It has an interesting feel. It feels kind of like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser flattened out into a sheet, and it's really quite durable. It is saving me laundry costs. It's saving me space in my mobile, and it's really quite a fascinating little tool. I'm keeping it in a container with vinegar inside, and it is so far working really well. I rotate them, but you know what? You can wash them in the laundry. You can leave them out to dry. If they dry out, you just rehydrate them. The ones that are cut in half, I can wring them with my hands without any pain at all. And I was really worried about that. So if you guys are interested in learning more about the Dog Lovers Towel, the Absorber Towel, you go to DogLoversTowel.com and let them know that the Groom Pod sent you. Barbara? Never have I had less grooming to talk about than I have this week.
Well, that means that you are adhering to the best practices, which is to stay home and don't do it. It's hard. It's hard. Your fingers just want to groom. You know, you see dogs on the street and you say, I wish I could groom that one. God, that one really needs grooming. I see these dogs with horrible clumps of undercoat walking with their people. How do they think that's healthy? I still think that we're an essential service and that people should actually do more grooming of pets, not less. Staying at home means you can brush that dog now, right?
I have a horse in the front yard that's screaming to be brushed out, but she is not ready to release her hair yet. Because that would occupy me for a little while. I myself have 3 short-haired cats, and they're all running in fear. I brought out the carrier. The one that has to go to boarding, he's hiding under the bed, and the other 2 are just looking at me like, what's going on? Because they know something's up. First of all, I haven't left the house. And my Velcro bird, the bird has just become stuck to my shoulders. I'm creating a monster there, trying to make sure I give him some private time. Like right now, he's sitting in the cage because he's just in my face all the time, having so much fun. And he's such a character, I have a hard time leaving him alone. It's partially my fault. But the cool thing is I have cleaned out 2 closets and I packed up 2 full sets of china and gave them to one of my grooming clients who has no china. So even though it is not grooming, there's lots of productivity at my house. At least I feel now I have to clean up all the mess that I created by cleaning the 2 closets and packing up the china. It's still pretty good. I mean, I'm getting stuff done. I, though, really need to address this little problem that you might be able to help me with, Barbara. Over the winter, as you know, because I complained about it quite a bit, my trailer was quite full of moisture. Well before the absorber towel people came on board, everything was just dripping wet all the time inside my trailer. Now it's finally drying out, but I wanted to take this opportunity to send my sharpening to the sharpener since they've canceled the Northwest Grooming Show. Randy won't be coming through. So, well, they're going to do it in August, like the weekend of Super Zoo. So Super Zoo will be during the week and then our show will be that weekend.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I don't know. At this point, I would probably have called the show completely and just gone to next year because it's too difficult. difficult, not to mention most of the Pacific Northwest will be out vacationing at that point because we only get those few weeks to go out and do stuff in our wonderful environment. So when we do get some nice weather, we all kind of head for the hills. So it's not a really great time to have a show, but we'll show up. If they have it, we'll be there. But I'm not sure how many vendors will be there. It's pretty difficult to pack up Super Zoo and then head to Tacoma. I'm not sure how realistic that is.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I would pick Tacoma over Super Zoo.
Oh, me too.
Because for me, Super Zoo is really way more for pet stores.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's just so much like retail pet leashes and harnesses and sweaters and dresses and
food,
natural food and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And that's not bad, but it's not really a lot of groomer-oriented stuff. I mean, there is groomer-oriented material and everything, but you have to wade through all that other stuff and not be distracted in order to pay attention to what's meant for you. It's spread out, it's walking miles and miles to, you know, and then you get lost. You can get lost in those aisles at Super Zoo. And, you know, I just love the Northwest show, the Tacoma show and the beautiful hotel. It's a much more casual and intimate relationship-based kind of a show.
I'm going to be very sorry that it's going to be so altered this year, but I'm most sorry that Randy from Precision Sharp will not be coming by to sharpen my shears. So I'm going to pack them up and send them out to them back east, but they are considerably rusty in places. For instance, where the two blades meet on some of the shears I haven't been using, I opened them up and I found rust in there. How do I get that out? Because I can't send them back to Randy. He'll never sharpen my stuff again. He'll think I'm such a horrible person.
It probably wouldn't be the first time. You know, that's a product of your environment. And the truth is, you should probably on a monthly basis be going through those shears that you have set aside and oil them to prevent that rust. But there is a pumice stone type of stone that you can get where you can actually rub off the rust, and that's probably what Randy would do, and he's going to do a better job of it. So I would just acknowledge the problem and send them. He's going to take them apart and put them back together, and you're not going to take them apart.
No way am I taking them apart.
There's no like liquid rust remover.
Okay. Even my beautiful Evolution shears have some rust in spot. I mean, it's horrible. I was like, oh, this is bad. Bad.
See, and we're taught that stainless steel doesn't rust. It's just rust resistant, but you know, like given enough force of humidity, the stainless steel will rust. Attend to your retired or put away shears at least every couple of months and go through and oil them.
Well, if I'm at home much longer, I'll be going through that drawer soon enough. There'll be shears coming out and headed to needy groomers everywhere.
I need sharpening too. Although I love my sharpener that in Alabama that I send them to, it's so expensive. And the local guy here, I think I've found somebody that's trustworthy, but he didn't answer my call. So I think I've got to call again. Because sometimes I know I miss a call and I need to not assume that he's deliberately avoiding me till I call several times. And I've only called once, and I wouldn't want someone else to draw a conclusion based on that I missed one.
After you do that, though, then call either Abby or Ron at Evolution Shears because they do a fantastic job, or send them to Randy because he does a great job too. If the guy doesn't call back after a few more attempts anyway.
I'm going to give him a couple more.
Hey, one more funny thing happened while I was cleaning out the closet.
Yeah.
I found my grooming client in there.
Oh, no, tell us.
Yes, her cremains are still in my closet. Shit.
I got to go dump her.
Creepy.
I know. It's beyond creepy. It's now funny because it's too creepy. So you think I can get that bad juju out of my room?
Yeah, you need to smudge the whole place. I'm telling you, you know. Hey, Susie, I've got to tell you about this cool thing that happened at my shop with a customer. What a gift I got.
Excellent.
So I have a fairly new wire fox terrier named Hannah that I groomed last week. And this is only about the third time that I've groomed the dog. And the husband came in. He's been in previous appointments. He's been in Colorado and she was in Tucson. They're trying to move here. And the husband came in. And while I was talking with the wife, the husband spotted my open window where my window frame crashed out of my window, kind of over my counter. And we'd just been taping up a piece of fairly rigid plastic over there using Gorilla Grip tape and duct tape and whatever kind of tape I have on hand. And about every 6 weeks, Yvonne has to climb up on the counter and re-tape it because it's unfinished concrete block. It's very porous. It doesn't hold a tape very well.
I was going to say, that has got to be the worst surface in the world to try to tape.
Oh, I know. It's the worst. This is uninsulated concrete block building that I've been in like 48 years or something. It is ridiculous. It's so silly that I got stuck here. But here I am. And so it was partially untaping and kind of hanging. And sure enough, I've had a bee or two fly in through there lately. It's spring and the bees are out. So he said, would you like me to tape that back up for you? And I said, oh, that would be wonderful. And so he climbed up there and I handed him the Gorilla tape and he did a really good job. And as he was taping, he was examining the window and looking at it real closely and everything. And when he got down, he said, you know, that should hold for a while, but I would like to actually fix that window for you.
Wow.
I just about fell out. That window, the frame, it opened by, you know, like just partially opening from the top, and it just made like an opening across the top, and the whole frame just fell out about a year ago, and we have been dealing with that ever since. I had one customer that was thinking about fixing it, but it just kind of never followed through. And he told me I should take it to a glass place and find an old guy that might be able to fix it. Because this build, well, an old guy, because this is an old building. It was probably built in 1954, and none of the measurements are standard today. So then his wife came back and took the frame. Unfortunately, I had retrieved the frame months ago from the backyard, and it was just like sitting in the shop, and I gave it to her. And then he came back and he had put new glass in the frame, and he actually refit the frame in the window. It doesn't open anymore, but it's just got a little bit of air at the top, which will allow for pressure from the swamp cooler to release. And it took him hours. It was way more difficult than he had anticipated, and he didn't even drop an F-bomb. He didn't drop any kind of bombs. He just kept going and kept going and problem solved this and shimmied up that. And it was so special to have, I had never even met him before.
That's heartwarming.
It was just, you know, spontaneous, natural, generous act.
I would say it's totally a random act of kindness on his part and really nice.
Total random act of kindness and so appreciated. And, you know, you just don't know how to not just gush over it, you know.
So, you know. Point him to the podcast and tell him to listen about 9 minutes in and he'll get to hear the story of his little window
experiment.
It was
really a blessing. And, you know, I've had such trouble with handymen stealing from me and all that kind of stuff.
Isn't that the truth?
This was just like such an equalizer, such a re-faith in men.
Yeah, specifically.
You know, did I tell you about the guy that came in and asked me to use my toilet?
No.
This was another male customer. This is the downside of men. This is another dog that I groomed. The man picked up the dog. The wife was in the car. The man picked up the dog and he sat in the car. Well, sometimes it takes people a little bit of time to get away from here. And especially these days we're wearing masks and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, like there's just some fumbling around. And then the man, he came kind of like scurrying in and he said, "Can I please use your bathroom? It's an emergency." And, you know, I said, "Sure, it's right back there." And I said, "It's kind of a pit." And he was in there for the longest time. And I'm just thinking, oh, uh-oh. God, definitely that wasn't a pee problem, you know. And so then he came out and he mumbled something to me, which I didn't hear. I'm so deaf. And I just said, "I understand." And he scurried out. Well, I went back there at the end of the day because I had to pee before I went home. And he had left shit blobs.
Oh,
Susie, he had left shit blobs on the floor, on the seat of the toilet.
Ew.
You know, like, oh, my God.
Oh, that is yucky. You definitely didn't tell me about this because I would have remembered.
My friend Polly said she would have called him right back and said, "You forgot some cleanup work here." I said, "You know, I wanted to call his wife and tell her she needed to do a little more training."
Imagine the surprise that she found in his underwear when she got home. So, you know, she's going to have her own thing to deal with.
Yeah, well, clearly it had slid out of his pants. Yeah. You know, like, oh my God, the poor guy. I mean, I'm sure he was just like totally humiliated. But if you're going to spend that much time in there, there's a whole pile of used towels right there and a sink.
Yep.
You know, it would not be hard to take a towel and wet it down in the sink and wipe up your shit and then tell me, "Well, I used a towel to clean up after myself. Bye." You know, okay.
Yeah.
But no, some men just don't get it, do they?
No, they
you
don't.
Know,
this is an interesting fact, a little factoid. I have not used anyone's bathroom or a bathroom in a public area since the COVID thing started. I've peed in my bathtub every time, and which, you wow. know, sadly just goes out on the ground, but at least I'm hidden from public view. But I noticed, I was like, wow, I haven't been in anyone's house since mid-February. I haven't been in anyone's house.
Wow.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Let me take a quick break, and then we're going to go over to the receptionist table and do some customer service work, okay?
Okay.
You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Customer service problem? Let's talk about it at the reception desk. So since we have so little grooming actually going on, I thought that we could take a stop at the reception desk and talk a little customer service. And I bet you've got some customer service examples in your history that we can talk about.
Yeah, I have a couple of ones that I was actually pleased with that I kind of saved to share. One of these is I have a customer that has two kind of oversized miniature poodles, both of which who had show careers. And she originally, at least 6 years ago, chose me to be her groomer because she was going to have a poodle and she wanted it to look really poodly. So then she went on to show these two poodles, and I'm still doing them quite poodly. Well, one of them, who is a retired champion, actually went all the way. He hates having his feet shaved, and it's a big freaking battle where I have to tie him up with a groomer's helper and all of that. It's just a rodeo to get him. He tries to cover his feet with his head. He doesn't ever bite. I mean, he's a poodle and he's too well-mannered to do that, but he just fights me. And I would just been thinking every time I think, you know, I don't want to do this to him. I don't want to do these feet anymore. And I kind of hinted with her that it was too much of a battle. And then this last time, I waited until the night after I groomed him, and I didn't do the poodle feet. And I texted her and I said, "Hi, Katie. Garner and I had a long talk today. It was about his feet."
I take it that's the dog, right?
Yeah, that's the dog's name, Garner. "Garner and I had a long talk today. It was about his feet. He pleaded with me to stop shaving his toes. He says he tries to be a good boy, but he can't be good about that. It's horrible for him. We can say it only tickles. He doesn't care. It's torture. Would I please talk to you about teddy bear feet?" I agreed to be his advocate, and I put a couple of poodle emojis, and I sent that off to her, and it worked. She got back to me the next day and she said, "Okay, Garner can have teddy bear feet."
Excellent.
So, you know, I just thought that that was just a clever way to kind of handle the topic and, you know, not have to be overly dramatic or anything, but just really get the point across that I trusted the dog's reaction. Anyway, so that worked.
That brings to mind, as we're talking about it here, that oftentimes in our just personal experience, as we're grooming through a lifetime of the dog, you have to make modifications with the groom. And it's hard to bring that up to the people sometime. This is an excellent way to do that. Man, Barbara, that is so fantastic. You use the dog's voice to introduce the idea to the clients. And I think that's great. Good job, Barbara. You had another one too, right?
Yeah, well, I have another one that I did that was a bit awkward because I have a customer that has two full-coated, large, bearded collies. And one of them, the female, I've been grooming every 2 weeks for over 10 years. She's elderly now. She's overweight. She's still got a full coat. But, you know, when you groom a long drop coat like that, a lot of those hairs actually are very old and weathered. And they've been picked at and pulled at and dematted and all of that for years. And it just kind of gets worse and worse. The coat gets more and more difficult to deal with. And even though this dog is very cooperative, it is hard, hard work. And I groomed her myself one day. Actually, I groomed her a couple of times in a row. And I realized that I wasn't getting enough money. And I had raised his price just a year ago to $80. But $80, I realized wasn't enough because it was taking me the time of two or three full grooms to do this one dog, and it was physically wearing me out, and I was huffing and puffing and short of breath and all of that. And so I texted the guy and I said, it's a little bit long, "Hi Rick, can we talk?" little Joan Rivers intro there. "After grooming Katie by myself for two times, I have gained a full appreciation of what a job it is to groom her. I am so grateful that she is so cooperative. Nonetheless, it is a lot of dog with a lot of coat. I have to bump the price significantly to $100. Ouch!
Oh, that is significant.
$20 hit. I've never raised a price that much where I really wanted to keep the customer. I said, ouch. I said, I have a suggestion to make this better on your end. We could go to an every 3 week schedule. She's been coming in every 2 weeks. You would actually save $40 every 6 weeks. Rick, your business is very important to me. You have been a bread and butter client for 2 decades. I don't want to lose you. We love Katie and Charlie. This is not just a financial decision. It is a matter of physical survival for me and for Yvonne. I plan on paying her more for her work with Katie. I hope you understand." He texted me right back, "All is good."
Oh, good. Boy, that was a scary text to send, though, wasn't it?
I danced around this for days. I thought about it. I didn't want to apologize for raising, you know, like, I didn't want to apologize for raising the price. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I just need more money to do the dog, and I want to continue doing the dog. And so that's what I came out with, and it's very important that I put in how much I valued his business, so that he couldn't even enter his mind that I was bumping him in order to get him to go elsewhere. You know, I made it very clear, and that it wasn't just a matter of the money. It was actually physical survival, which it was. I was so out of breath after doing her by myself that I had to take an hour break with my rescue asthma huffer.
Yeah, generally, we don't have to give a reason for a price raise. I mean, you can if you want. It's not necessary. Just the fact that your business needs to raise the price is enough to have a price raise. But when it's that big, that $20 big, it definitely helps to have a little explanation as to why you're doing it all of a sudden now. And I think you did a great job, and we can all learn from that experience. I think you might have had another interesting text interaction recently with a customer.
Yeah, this was a customer relation technical faux pas that happened this morning. And this is what happened. The way that I get ready in the morning, I start out really slow and I have one cup of coffee and then I have another cup of coffee and then I ease into feeding the dogs and then I fix something to eat for myself. And then I might do something else, and then I remember to take my pills, and then I get dressed. I have to start pushing myself to get myself out the door. Otherwise, I'll just dick around and I won't get out the door. So I start pressing myself and pushing myself, and I have to hurry up at the very end. I'm late already, right? So I'm late already, and Susie's already texted me, "Are you there yet?" Nowadays, I have to go to my shop to use the internet. Okay, so "Are you there yet?" You know, like, "It's time, Barbara." And then before I could answer her, I got this incoming text, looked interesting. And this woman texted me and she said, "Hi, I just finished walking with one of your customers and I have a 6-month-old Irish doodle that needs her first groom. Would you be able to do this for me?" And I thought, Irish doodle. do I want to do this? What the fuck is an Irish doodle? And so I realized I had to answer this woman, or I had to think about it. And then I quickly texted Susie, I'm just about out the door. WTF is an Irish doodle. And I'll be with you in a few minutes. And then I get to the shop, and I go to get set up. Texted Susie that I'm at the shop, and then I look at my list of texts. I'm looking at it in the iPad. I can't find those two texts. I look at Susie's account, and I see her asking me if I'm leaving yet, and then nothing. And I said, well, what happened to the text where about the Irish doodle and when I told her I was on my way? Well, damn. I went to the text from the Irish doodle lady, and there was the two texts to Susie. So I had written I texted the Irish doodle lady, WTF is an Irish doodle. Oh my God! I figured, well. So I had to send her the whoops text. I said, whoops, that was wrong, very wrong, wrong person, wrong thing to say, I'm so sorry, please excuse my profanity. God, here's this woman, she hasn't even seen my face, and she's subject to my F-bomb. Poor thing.
Not to mention it's about her dog.
The F-bomb is about her dog. I said, oh, God, is that an Irish Terrier? Standard poodle mix? No, just recently she texted me back. It's like a damn Irish Setter.
Oh.
Irish Setter standard poodle. Why, God? Why do you allow this? I know you allow the coronavirus, but why do you allow the Irish doodle?
I know. Right there with the sheep doodle and the burn doodle.
Hey, the burn doodle is hot. It's taking off.
No.
Okay, so anyway.
There's the parents and the kids where they have the two shih tzus at the parents' house and the one shih tzu and the burn doodle at the kid's house. And I told them I wouldn't do the burn doodle because it just take me too long to dry. Well, they were in a panic I guess it was before the lockdown. And they couldn't get into their groomer and they begged me to do the dog. And I did the dog. I'm such a sucker. I'm such a sap. Oh, my God. So I did this little Annie the burn doodle and she was delightful. And the haircut she had wasn't all that great, but she was pretty good on the table. But I'm not doing that dog. But I just thought, wow, we needed this mix? Really?
Oh. I know. So anyway, I have to decide whether I'm going to do this 50-pound Irish Setter mutt. I was bad enough when I was thinking it was an Irish Terrier. They like those red doodles. Red doodles are hot. Okay, so what's next, Susie? Enough about me.
Well, let's take a quickity-quick break, and then we're going to come back and go to our first appointment, which actually is our second appointment.
Keep track now.
Yeah. What to wear to work. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
So there's a whole lot of talk about PPEs these days, personal protection equipment. And really, I just thought we might talk about all of the things that we're wearing these days while we groom. And let us start at our feet, because everything important starts from the ground up, and our grooming clothes are no exception. What are you wearing on your feet?
Well, I want to go even lower than the feet. I want to go to what's under your feet.
Oh, like mats.
Yeah, like mats, because, you know, this building, this concrete block building, also has a concrete floor. And Susie, I worked in this floor for like 17 years before I put down any matting.
Well, we didn't even know how important
that was. We didn't even know. I will say, if there's one thing I could go back and do differently again, it would be anti-fatigue matting from the get-go. Now there's some flooring, like wood flooring, is much more forgiving and much more shock absorbing than concrete flooring.
Sure.
But you know, if you have hard floors, you may not feel it on any one day when you're young, but you will feel it every single fucking day when you're old.
Yes. And not every anti-fatigue mat is the same. Some are better than others. And I learned an important lesson. Don't stack a bunch of anti-fatigue mats on top of each other and think it's that much better, because it makes your ankles work really hard.
Makes your ankles work really hard, and they can kind of slip and slide. No, and actually, you know, we tend to stand on a mat, and if it's cushy, we like it. But that's not necessarily the best mat for the job. There needs to be some firmness in the mat. I bought expensive mats. And now what I did, we used to have a mat place that wasn't too far from my shop, and I would buy like two or three mats every few months, and I kind of put them around. Well, over the years, I developed a path of mats from the back room through the middle room to the front, and then I would walk that way. Well, then when I had my assistant named Dave would clean up, and what he would do, he would separate the mats to be a border along the concrete path. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's opposite of what we want.
What? I would say, what is this? You know, and it was all nice and neat, and it was just like a little yellow brick road lined with this black matting, you know, like, and I would have to explain to him, no, you want to walk on this stuff. And I kept putting mats, and I put one by the cash register and one over here and one over there, and I have a big bubble mat with the holes in it at the tub, and boy, does that thing get dirty and filthy, and it weighs a ton to pull it up and clean it, but you've just got to.
Those are the worst.
Now what I have in the middle room, which is where I'm actually grooming, I have the interlocking foam checkerboard kind of thing going. And that means that every inch of the floor is covered. And it may not be the best matting, but it's such complete coverage that it gives me a lot of relief. I mean, those 17 years that I spent on the concrete floor, I pay for those years every single day. My feet and legs and knees and hips are just ruined. And the start of it all was concrete floors, no mats, and cute shoes.
Yeah, let's talk shoes. I have flat feet, flat as can be. I make a Fred Flintstone. Yes, spit it out,
spit,
please.
Spit it.
I make a Fred Flintstone footprint.
Say that fast three times.
I can't. I can barely get it out once.
You couldn't even get it up the first time. A Fred Flintstone footprint. So he had flat feet?
Yeah, he had flat feet, and I had flat feet, and my dad had flat feet, and his dad had flat feet. You can see the genetics of the flat feet better than the bunion feet that were from the other side of my family.
Oh, God.
But as a result, when I was in grade school, I had to have special shoes. I now know they were orthotic shoes, but they were horrible, hideous shoes that were different than everyone else's.
Oh, how awful for you.
Yeah, so I have long since been traumatized by shoes. But I learned that since gymnastics wrecked my feet, and also working on a cement floor for many years at an import warehouse, I learned that shoes are really important, and picking the right shoes is really important. And I myself use a cross trainer that is extremely supportive, and I have custom-made orthotics. Needless to say, I had to get custom-made orthotics. I have two different pairs. I alternate my shoes every other day so I don't wear the same shoe 2 days in a row. And I get to pick my shoes these days, and they're prettier, but they are still not fashion statements, that's for sure. But I sometimes see people grooming with, like, sandals and flip-flops and stuff.
Sandals are the worst things because not only are they rarely supportive enough. Now, I have a pair of flip-flop type sandals with arch supports in there, and I can wear those around the house and everything, but not good in the grooming shop. One time I was wearing earth shoes. Is that what they were called?
Yeah, Birkenstock
shoes, and they were sandals, and they had just the two straps over the front of the foot. So the toes were revealed, right? The toes were naked, and I probably had little nail polish on there, all cute-like. And I was walking in the back, carrying a dog to put it in a kennel, and I accidentally jammed my foot into a dryer cord, in between my toes and the sole of the shoe. And I went down. And that was the beginning of the end to my right knee. The interesting thing was that I did not drop the dog, but I gracefully set the dog down with my left hand as I fell on my right knee.
Oh, that's a great picture.
It was almost a ballet move. I was so careful with the dog as I crashed to the floor, probably the concrete, you know. And oh man, that was the beginning of the end of my right knee, which has now been replaced with some kind of metal or something in there. And the other one is I landed on the other one the other day.
You know what'll save your knees?
What?
If you have a stool or a chair and you start out with that too, that's protection in its own self.
Yeah, you know, like using a chair in the beginning of your grooming, don't wait until your body is so broken that you can't stand anymore like me. You know, I waited until I had sciatica so bad I almost couldn't get to Atlanta Pet Fair one year, and then I had to rent a scooter, and I ran over some groomer's foot, and I did. I did. Nowadays, I'm, like, I use scooters at the stores all the time. In fact, I don't like to shop at a store that doesn't have them. I am just a master driver. I zip in and around and U-turn and all of that. But that was my first experience on a scooter. It was crowded, and I ran over a foot, and, God, I couldn't get off of it fast enough, and it was screaming, and it was pretty awful. But anyway, what was I saying? I had sciatica so bad, my chiropractor made me go get x-rays. He looked at the x-rays, and he said, I cannot adjust your back ever again. He said, you have bone spurs that are going to break loose at any time, and it could leave you paralyzed from the waist down and incontinent in the bowels.
We don't want that.
Not good.
Then you'll be cleaning up your own poop droplets.
I would be picking up my own poop droplets. Well, then I wouldn't be so goddamn mad. I can't believe that man left his own shit on my floor. It took me years to be able to clean up dog shit. Years.
Yeah, I have a fecal aversion myself.
I couldn't clean up dog shit until I owned my own shop and there wasn't anybody else to do it. You know?
Yes.
I had to go home and get drunk and come back the next day and clean that up. I just shut the damn door and walked out of my shop. Like, oh God. Anyway, where were we?
Okay, well, let's move on to, like, clothing. Pants and tops. What do you do about that? I have spent a lot of time in those pajama bottom pants that the, like, Stylist Wear sells. And Jody Murphy has some little more fitted. But it turns out I don't really fit into Jody Murphy's very
her
well.
Pants.
I just don't. Neither the pants. I do the skorts. Those I wear in the summertime a lot. They're like a staple for me. But her pants are built for somebody of different shape than I am for some reason, and especially the grooming smocks. I love them. They're very tailored, but the pockets stick out for me. It looks like I'm homeless and I have nothing in my pockets because they're all turned inside out.
I like to wear denim.
Oh, really? Denim?
Yeah, denim. Well, you know, I groom sitting down. So one of the hazards of grooming sitting down is hair in your lap and hair in your inner thighs. And because I work in the summer with a swamp cooler, I don't like to wear nylon, you know, hair repelling fabric in the summertime because I perspire and it just sticks to my skin and it's just like not nice. So I like to wear jeans or some kind of denim capri type pants in the summertime. I wear scrub tops with doggies on them. It just is a shout out to that I'm a professional dog person. Yeah, I just had to get two new ones in a size 2X. Fuck.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, man, that's like the end of the road for me. Like, this is bad.
Well, there's nothing worse than being stuck at home. I mean, I've done nothing but bake since I've been home.
No,
it's very bad.
I do ice cream. Yeah,
oh,
that's
just too easy.
Oh, I don't know. Just the Magnum ice cream with the crusted chocolate on. That's
oh, yeah.
You have to squeeze the container and the dark chocolate and raspberry. And oh my God, it was so good. And you know, like I just said, life is so hard. I deserve this. And then I have got this horrible, almost looking like a man's beer belly now that I have to hide with a 2X damn scrub top. Oh well.
In the summertime, I don't have the get stuff stuck to me, so I go with a tank top or shorts, a skort, that kind of thing. But even so, nobody's making tank tops these days. I guess Lady Bird is coming out with one, but it's too high in the neck for me. I like a nice V-neck tank top or a scoop neck tank top because it's doggone hot in there. But I am a nylon. I wear everything nylon because I get myself quite wet at the bathtub. My bathtub is at waist high and there's no edge to it, so I get splashed a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that because it's hot in my grooming trailer, so I don't mind.
Yvonne wears tank tops and kind of long shorts in the summer, And I let her do that. I, you know, like my attire kind of varies somewhat depending on my size and how I feel about my body and who's working with me and what they're wearing. I had one assistant for a while, and we used to like dress up for work. I mean, it was fun. It was fun.
Oh, that's just crazy talk.
We would say what color we're going to wear. Well, we were wearing scrubs. We would, you know, like, okay, tomorrow is blue. We would dress blue and we would wear a scrub top.
Yeah.
And that was when I was, you know, an M, not a 2XX. That was when I am an M. I ought to give away all those M's because I'll never see the day I'll wear them. I would be happy just to get back to an L.
Right.
yeah, and she always wore jewelry, and she, you know, yeah, we would wear little jewelry, little paws, or little doggies, or whatever.
That's a lot of effort. You know what I do to make myself look a little more professional is I get like stuff embroidered. There's a lot of my clients that have embroidery machines at home. All you got to do is ask around and somebody will have one, and you can get your name embroidered and a cute little emblem on there, and it makes you just look a little bit more professional. That's as far as I'm going though.
Since I turned 80, well, I've started doing makeup, and I haven't done makeup at work in decades. And actually, for the last several years, I wasn't doing any makeup at all. I think I even went to one trade show without makeup. But when I turned 80, I realized that I wasn't looking so good. I couldn't take it. I said, this is a little bit, well, it's not over the top. What is the opposite of over the top? This is like a little bit too
under the log.
Yeah, this is a little bit too under the weather for me. I just don't look healthy. You know, gray hair, thinning hair, loss of, you know, my forehead's getting longer and longer. My hair, I don't like to mess with my hair every day. So I was having so many bad hair days that I started wearing a wig. It turned out to be a lot of fun. And then when I was wearing a wig, it kind of called for a little makeup. So I watched some makeup videos, and I got so deep. I am so back into makeup. And you know what happened? I started wearing hair and makeup, and my customers give me all this feedback.
Oh, very nice.
You are looking so good these days. You know, like, okay, I'm stuck doing this now.
You can't go back now.
No, I can't turn back now. So I sort of decided I would make myself a star at work, you know.
All
but
right.
I don't overdo it. I try to do something that's, you know, I'm not wearing false eyelashes or anything like that. I'm trying to do age-appropriate makeup. And I've studied contemporary makeup techniques. I'm not just layering on the makeup like I used to when I was young. I'm brushing.
Right.
I'm blending. I'm brushing. I'm, you know.
Sure. I say sure like I know. I've never worn makeup, so I have no idea.
Working with my face has become sort of like doing my nails. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
It's become an expression. And I just love that, you know, I turned the clock back 20 years with hair and makeup. People don't even believe that I'm 60.
I believe that.
And what it does is it makes me have more vitality in my appearance, and I just look more viable.
Okay. I'm turning the train back over to personal protection equipment.
And then I wear my mask.
Okay, let's talk masks. We should be wearing masks. Hopefully none of you got caught by surprise without a mask at home, because we should be wearing them while we work, especially when we're drawing dogs. But really, not a bad idea to wear them all the time. I think the Asian groomers wear them all the time.
Asian groomers have a lot of trouble with allergies, and they wear them all the time. And you know what? I now have bad asthma. And so I've started wearing them at work more often. And I resurrected my little collection of cloth masks that I got from, I don't even remember the name of them, but online. And they got dog bones and I love my dog and that kind of stuff on them. And they're fun to wear to the supermarket because everybody's got these boring masks. And I've got this really cute mask with dog bones and it's happy and, you know. If I had to wear a paper mask, I'm thinking, can I draw a smile or lips or something on that mask just to be fun?
I would go with a nose and whiskers or something really cute.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Important part of our protection, though, because groomer's lung is a real thing. I use a clipper vac, but I still, when I'm blowing out dogs, I worry a lot about what I'm inhaling. I also have a beekeeper hat. That's kind of a hat with like a veil around
it. That's major.
It's really good for drying the dogs.
Yeah.
It's probably not so good for keeping coronavirus at bay, but definitely good for drying the dogs. Another thing is our hands. What do you do to protect your hands? I'll tell you what I do to protect my hands. Gloves in a bottle 3 times a day.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's part of my protective equipment.
So do gloves in the bottle actually protect you from virus droplets?
I don't know, but I think why not? Because it's, you know, a barrier cream. I still wear gloves, though, when I go in places. I've got gloves.
I've been using my vinyl gloves. You know, the latex gloves that I like to use when I'm hand-stripping dogs, they sort of disappeared from the drugstore shelf and were replaced with vinyl gloves, which don't work for hand-stripping dogs' hair. The hair just slips right off. So I had these two boxes of vinyl gloves, which I'm now going through as I go out in public. I wear these things. I need to pretty well suit up for going out.
Yes, you do. Definitely.
And do I go in the early morning hours that are set aside for elderly people? Fuck no.
That's where all the sick people are.
Yeah, I don't want to be around all those losers.
Other things that I do to protect my hands, and I know you do this too, is I use the smallest equipment I can get away with. Like you use trimmers all the
Boy,
time.
Boy, you notice that. The lightest weight. You know, I have to have lightweight tools, and I use the smallest tools that do the job well. I'm not grooming very many big dogs, so I rarely use 9-inch shears, and I never use 10-inch shears. You know, when I use my 8- and 9-inch shears, what happens to me all the time is that I cut myself on my holding hand. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's too much blade there, and I'm cutting with the inside of the blade more towards the pivot point, which you should.
Right.
And the tips go too far over into my holding hand, and damn, I've done it again.
Ouch.
I slice my fingers of my holding hand, especially when I'm doing feet.
You know what happens to me with feet, especially with toenail trims? You ever had a toenail fling you in the eye?
Oh, yeah, that can happen. That's painful. You can do some damage that way. Yeah, I wear my glasses more at work. And I do have work goggles for when I'm doing big blowouts. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. How about hearing protection?
Well, I have dozens of pairs of earplugs. And I mostly use them when I don't want to listen to Yvonne in the back.
She is kind of a constant patter back there as she's working away and singing and talking to the dogs.
Every now and then, it gets to be a little bit too much for me. And so I plug up or I'll listen to my iPhone radio. I've never been able to get employees to wear the earplugs, even though I will supply them with a sample of 20 different kinds of earplugs that you can try and find out something that's comfortable and effective, and they just sit there. And,
I wear Yep. I wear hearing protection. I started out just wearing it when I was drying dogs because we know our dryers, especially the canine twos, they produce way more than 85 decibels, especially when they're deflected. Right. But as Bluetooth came out and, you know, I got into podcasts and doing podcasts and listening to podcasts and also audiobooks, I wear my headphones through the whole entire groom because I'm in a small trailer and the clipperback is noisy in there and the dogs can be noisy in there. Plus, I can escape while I'm working to this magical place of storytelling while I'm talking to, I can even talk to the dogs while I'm listening to a story.
That's pretty good because I find I can listen to some music, but not always. I find sounds to be distracting because I've got mental stuff going on about what
I'm... I do, too. What I'm trying to drown it out. God. The voice is in my head. So I get it. Yeah, I've really taken to the distraction, especially since so much of my grooming time is spent drying dogs. Having that distraction while I'm drying a dog, that's not such a bad thing for me since I am a little ant in my pantsy.
Yeah, I guess that's just a very individual thing, but I'm often thinking about what I'm doing and the actual activity of drying a dog, I find it a meditation because I have to concentrate so much on the drying itself. And that's the difference. I give it my full attention.
I need a shiny object over on the side to keep my attention.
Boy, we both have such unique minds. It's interesting that we're so different. How did we ever hook up? I don't know.
Okay, let's slam the door on this topic and take another quick break here from our last sponsor. And then we're going to go back to school and talk a little bit about why not to hate your surfactant. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
So I was reading a shampoo bottle the other day, as I am wont to do, And they said it had no surfactants. Why would you ever want to claim that you have no surfactants?
Well, almost always when a marketing campaign includes no something, it's meant to imply that the something is bad and needs to be avoided. And so people get, when they say no surfactants, people get the idea that surfactants must therefore be bad and be avoided.
But they're what does the work, aren't they?
Well, of course they are. You know, like even soap is a surfactant. You know, even soap is a surfactant. It's a surface acting agent. It breaks the tension of the water. Water, you know, if you see a body of water, a pond, or even just a cup of water on the top of it, it's got little energy going that makes it a slight little, almost like a film. There's a tension at the surface. Surface tension. That's why some bugs can walk on the water. You've seen that? You've seen
right.
picture
yeah,
of
I've
the bugs walking? Yeah, well, and what you do is you add a surfactant that breaks that surface tension, and that allows the ingredients to spread thoroughly throughout the solution, right?
Okay.
Otherwise,
yeah,
they
sure.
just like sit on the top. So surface acting agents or surfactants are important in all of our, well, not every single one, but in all shampoos include cleaning surfactants, also known as detergents. And even detergents, which have been vilified.
Not detergents. There's no...
No, not detergents.
No,
oh, my gosh. No,
no soap.
Grumble, grumble.
No detergents. No surfactants.
Well, then there's no...
No cleaning.
Right. You
yes.
got it. You know, you got it. You got it. What surfactants do is they not only break the surface tension, but they attach to the dirt and oil particles with their little negative charged tails, and then they are attracted to the water with their little positive part heads, and that's what pulls the dirt away from the surface of the clothing, the dishes, or the dog hair, right?
So then when you see this on a label or something, does it get your hackles up?
Oh, very much so, because first of all, surfactants are not bad. So somebody asked the other day on our discussion group, what about surfactants in ear cleaning products? Well, like it's something to be avoided. No, surfactants are helpful. You know, there's even a little bit of surfactant in your toothpaste.
Oh.
It's what makes it foam. It's what makes it spread. Go ahead. Just use baking soda. That's got no surfactant, and you won't like it.
Yeah, gross.
Gross, right? So, you know, like even toothpaste has a little bit of surfactant. Just, you know, it's not... whether or not it has anything, it's what it's got in and how much of it and what else is in there to balance the whole product. No surfactant is just like in there by itself.
That's where we hand our trust to the formulator, the person who puts the recipe together, that they put it together so that it works right.
Yeah, so it's true that some detergent surfactants, and that just means cleaning surfactants. Detergent C is the property of being able to clean.
Okay.
So detergent surfactants are simply cleaning or cleansing surfactants. And then we also have surfactants that are emulsifiers. They mix oil and water and also mix oily dirt and the water of the shampoo, and they mix oily ingredients with the water base. And, you know, and then we have surfactants that are conditioning surfactants, and they are surfactants that leave a film, a light film on the hair shaft to protect it and to replace the sebum and the oils that are removed by the detergent surfactants. And so surfactants are a huge, huge, huge category of ingredients that are not good or bad in general, nor are they good or bad in specific. It depends on how they're used, how they're combined, how they're diluted. You know, it depends on how they're used.
So if you see those generalizations, maybe take a moment to perhaps consider a different shampoo.
It's misinformation, and it's what I call malignant misinformation. It's malignant because it's forming incorrect assumptions in your mind. You know, it's molding your thoughts in a negative and toxic manner.
There's been a lot of that malignant misinformation going around with the stupid virus stuff. Man, are there some interesting myths about the coronavirus and stuff, because we really don't know very much about it. Needless to say, I'm done talking about virus talk. I'm done talking grooming talk. I'm going to go bake something. Because why not? Well, I have to apologize for us not getting a show out last week. The audio was just too bad. The internet was too choppy and Barbara's recording didn't stick. So hopefully you'll get to hear at least the same topics with a whole new discussion this week. And thanks for supporting us on Patreon. And I know that these times are hard, and I know a few people have been having to drop off the Patreon, which I totally understand. When things go back to normal, we'll probably have a little pledge drive where we'll try to drum up a little bit more business, because I got to pay that big bill for the hosting coming up in July. So I've kind of got that in the sights. Anything you want to pass out to the listeners?
No, this is time to really just keep breathing and be kind to yourself, be kind to those around you. I know that having everybody at home can get very stressful. I don't have anybody at home except my dogs. And what I've discovered with my dogs, I've discovered little neglectful things. I've been neglecting my dog's toenails. Remember I had, Belle had this funny thing happen with her toenail on her rear foot? It seems that she injured her toenail somehow, and it was probably because it was too long. And her toenail died, and a new toenail grew in on top of it, but only the quick was kind of free form there, uncovered. So we'd say it's kind of slowly resolving itself. And now I discovered Marco licking and licking a forefoot. He's got a dew claw curled around.
Well, at least you have some grooming to do. That must be nice.
It's much more fun than CNN and MSNBC, which I seem to be glued to. All right, people, don't watch too much news.
I get it. Go outside. Spend time with the people you live with if you can. Otherwise, just go outside and breathe some fresh air. The end is in sight. We're looking at how to reintroduce ourselves into society here on the West Coast. Hopefully, you guys on the East Coast will be soon to follow. And that's it. I'd say happy grooming, but we're not grooming. So we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.